Good morning, Lock Haven Baptist Church. Happy Easter. Praise God, He is alive and He's risen and He's forever alive, making intercession for you and I. I thank you this morning for joining us here at the pastor's study. As you might notice, you that have been attending since this pandemic took place, we're in a little bit different setting. This morning, I just wanted to have the cross over my shoulder. I just wanted y'all to be able to look and pay attention to it, survey the cross, and remember exactly what we're doing here this morning. And as we do every Sunday at Lock Haven Baptist Church, we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ because He is alive and He lives within us. And we're thankful that we have this opportunity this morning. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. And then we're going to have a choir special this morning, and hopefully to get us into the celebrative spirit that we might just reflect a little bit on the cross. As you watch, just pay attention and reflect on the cross of Calvary. Of course, the cross that Christ died on was nothing as beautiful as the cross over my shoulder. The cross was a picture of death, and it was an instrument of cruelty. We're thankful that He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He is risen. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, as we worship this morning on this Easter Sunday in 2020. We pray, God, that You'd please bless our time together. Help us to enjoy one another's presence through technology. And Lord, we look forward to that time where we can meet again as a church bodily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen as the choir sings. Well, there goes technology. I didn't have it keyed up right. And we'll get it right here in a moment.
Oh,
I hope you enjoyed that choir special. That is a wonderful song, and they did a great job on that. We're looking forward to seeing our choir in the choir loft here soon, and we're going to leave that timing up to the Lord. No one in this group, I promise you, desires to meet as for church again like I do. I just want to see your face. I want to see you close and know that you're safe. And I'm looking forward to the time that we can do that. And Lord willing, it'll be quickly. Keep praying for our medical staff, the ones that are making decisions during this time to help us to navigate through this. And remember, if you have a prayer request at any time, go ahead and type it in there. If you have a praise, I see a lot of people praising God, and I appreciate the hearts and the thumbs up as y'all are listening. Type it in there. Let us know what you're thinking, and help us to celebrate this Easter Sunday together. If it's a problem that we can help with, we certainly will reach out to you and be a blessing to you there. So listen, we're going to sing as a congregational right now, He Arose. Many of you know this song, so sing along as they begin to sing. Yes, He did. He arose. I hope that you have been getting your kiddos up and watching with Sister Dyer and Jared as they bring a Bible story time. They started it last week, a resurrection series, and it's on Wednesdays at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. I asked Sister Dyer if she would continue doing that, and she said she would love to continue doing that. So this Wednesday night, 6:30, before our 7 o'clock time in the pastor study, meet with Sister Dyer and Jared as they bring another Bible time story to our kiddos, and keeping them involved and engaged in the things of God. It is important, because when we come back together, They need to just step right back into our Discovery Bible Clubs, our youth zones, our Sunday school classes, and so we can continue to press on for Christ. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll be here in the pastor study. Also meet with Sister Kim on Saturdays at 3 o'clock, ladies, and pray and let her know your prayer request. And there's power in the prayer, power in prayer. I've been walking around the church seven times. There's no special number in seven. The story of Jericho and God telling the nation of Israel to march around it seven times. I've been marching around the church seven times, praying for you folks, praying for our church, our city, our state, our nation. And so we're thankful that prayer is still not hindered and we can spend time with God in prayer. So spend time in prayer. Saturdays, 3 o'clock, FaceTime, Facebook page of Sister Kim's. Those are the announcements that I have. We'll get more announcements as soon as we can join back together and spend time as a church together in a way that will put nobody at harm. And we don't have to choose which ones show up and which ones don't. We're certainly going to get right back at this and get back to the ministries that are at hand. You listen here as the kids choir sings for us. What are they going to sing? Let's see. Here's my notes. God has provided the lamb. Yes, God did provide the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and have them ready in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to get to the Word of God here in just a moment. But before then, I'm going to ask the beautiful girlhood to sing from our archives. I'm going to key that up here. Also, I wanted to say something. This morning, Brother Josh Ornsby sent a Sunday school lesson to our group. I took the privilege of posting it to our church Facebook page. It is excellent. And if you haven't had a time to read over it and look at it, that go do that afterwards. It is a great help. Also, Sister Barbara's class, they have a link on our Facebook page where you can go and watch studies through the book of Revelation. And so go do that so you can take care of that. And also the Sunday school classes with Sister Dyer that are live. I would ask Brother Josh, if he's paying attention and watching right now, if you'll send me those every Sunday morning, Brother Josh, I'll post them to our church Facebook page. It was a tremendous blessing. I do appreciate everybody and everything that they're doing. Here's the Beautiful Girlhood group as they sing, the ensemble. They're going to sing In Christ Alone.
Oh,
Yes, he is alive. Matthew chapter 27 this morning. Thankful that y'all have joined us here together. And I've been pondering this here time that has made us go to this type of service. I think at the end of this, many of us will have a renewed love for the Lord's church. Not being able to assemble together like we normally do. I think sometimes we take it for granted. Maybe this here time will help us to understand how important it is for us to be in the house of God when it's open, for the comfort that we get, the fellowship that we enjoy through the Word of God, through spending time with each other, the instruction that we get through daily events that we face. I have been so amazed that when I've been in the house of God, that sometimes during the week coming, I needed exactly what was going to be. Well, Pastor, you're the pastor. You get it. I'm telling you, when I preach it again in front of you guys, it touches my heart once again. The Word of God is powerful. It is powerful, and it touches my heart over and over again. And so, maybe at the end of this, we'll have a renewed, refreshing desire to be in the house of God, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the Bible teaches. But until then, thank you for being with me here in the pastor's study. I know it's a little bit different setting. We're in a different room this morning, but I did that on purpose because I wanted us to reflect on the cross of Calvary. I didn't want any distractions. I didn't want y'all to be looking at my LSU gear behind me or my Astros gear behind me. I wanted you to focus this morning on the cross. Now, this morning's thought is after the cross. I don't know if you've caught up with the theme that we did on the series on the cross this time, but it was after Palm Sunday. And we looked at the events after Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was a great Sunday of worship and praise and Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But we looked at after that evening, late in the evening. Then we looked after the Garden of Gethsemane. We looked after the trials, and we got to the point where Christ was on the cross. And it was after the trials that we looked. And just like after the time of praise that we had, there's a lull that comes into our life. And then there's persecution. And as the persecution comes, like the cross, Jesus told us, take up your cross and follow Him. And so we looked at after the trials to the persecution. And today we're going to look at after the cross. Now, the sitting is horrific. On Golgotha, there was the three crosses. Jesus there in the middle, the two thieves. They had mocked Him. They had scourged Him. I looked at some information given by a Christian surgeon and talking about the wounds of Christ. He found in Scripture that there was five different types of wounds that Christ had taken up till the piercing of His wound. The contusion wound. That is a wound that's produced by a blunt instrument. Well, you say, Pastor, when that happened? You remember whenever they smote Christ with the reed? In Matthew chapter 27, verse 30. That was it. It was actually prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 1, that He would be smote that away. And so you had the contused wound. Then you have the lacerated wound. Of course, that took place when Christ was being scourged, and it was prophesied in Psalms chapter 129, verse 3, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 26 is when it actually took place. It says, and He was scourged. And so you have the contused wound, you have the lacerated wound, and then you have the penetrating wound. That took place whenever they placed the thorn of crowns upon His face, and those long thorns, they stuck down into Him. They penetrated into His forehead there, and it was That took place in Matthew chapter 27, verse 29, John chapter 9, verse 2. You can read about that in those times. And that's when that time they smote him there with the reed. They punched him. So you have those bruising wounds, or contused wounds, lacerated wounds, penetrating wounds, which are deep wounds that are caused by sharp pointed instruments, and then perforating wounds. The Latin word for perforating is to pierce through. And of course, when they took the spear and they pierced it through his wounds there, and then the incised wounds, I mean the perforating wounds, I'm sorry, I got a little ahead of myself. The perforating wounds, whenever they put the nails through his hands and through his feet, and they just perforated through the bones and the marrow and got down into the wood and locked the Lord Jesus to that cross there. And then the incised wound, which is to cut or produce with a sharp edged instrument. And that, of course, is when they pierced him through. And that was a gathering of information that was given to us by a medical surgeon. And that's quite a lot of pain and suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ went through. But up until this point, the hour that the crowd had been waiting for, the time that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ would come. Of course, there were the seven cries from the cross there. The first cry, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do there. The second cry, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, as he spoke to the thief on the cross. The third cry, woman, behold thy son, found in John chapter 19, verse 26. The fourth cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mark chapter 15 and verse 34. The fifth cry, where Jesus said, I thirst. And the sixth cry, it is finished. And then the seventh and final cry from the Lord Jesus Christ from the cross of Calvary, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And that is what the crowd was waiting for. You remember last week, after the great cries of Hosanna, 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 I told you was coming a day not too far in the near future where they would cry, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And this is what's took place. And that song that was sung there by them, Hosanna, 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 was a wonderful song. But there's a new song. I should have told you to go ahead and mark your place here. Go back to keep your place held there in Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read that here in a minute. But I want you to look in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, chapter number 5. There's a new song that we sing, and we're talking about after the cross. Revelation chapter number 5, Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 9. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 9, before we get to reading our text, I just want to set the scene for after the cross, because that's what we're talking about this morning. The thought is after the cross. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Why was he worthy? Because of the cross. Look what it says, For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God as kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. The angels start singing, and they start praising God. And it says here, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing in every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard us saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. The thought this morning after the cross. Back in Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 51. As we begin reading, as I gave you a little introduction there of things and where we were at and what we're going to be looking at, so you can ponder. Remember, look over my shoulder. Look at the cross. Look to Jesus because of the cross of Calvary, because of what was done on the cross of Calvary, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal life by faith in Christ, our atoning Lamb. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. They feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Verse 55. Many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among the which was Mary Magdalene, and the Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. He laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, verse 63, saying, sir, we remember that this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Verse 64. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last era shall be worse than the first. Verse 65. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. Verse 66, so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse 6, he's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord laid. Wow. After the cross. After the cross. Some things that I notice in our text verses as we read in Matthew chapter number 27, beginning in verse number 51. The first thing I notice, the Bible tells us after the cross, after Jesus was nailed to the cross, after Jesus cried that seventh cry, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I notice that the Bible says, And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Look with me in Hebrews chapter number 9. I would this morning that you'd give me a little liberty at looking at several different scriptures this morning as we look at the Word of God in Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 1. You have a portion of scripture here that is written that tells us a lot about the veil and what was going on during this time and what the veil actually meant. You see, once a year, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies and he would go in and he would offer a sacrifice there of atonement that would roll sins forward until another year would pass. In Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 15 this morning. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, this is talking about the veil that was rent, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had a golden censer and an ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the gold pot that was that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, the Ten Commandments that were there, and Aaron's rod. Verse 5, and over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, and which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when this thing was were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. So always that he would enter in, and the priest would go in. Verse 7, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There, verse number 8, the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, which is at the first tabernacle was standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in the meats and drinks and divers washing and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not with the hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of the heifer and sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works and serve the living God. Verse 15, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of the death of the redemption transgressions that were under the first testament, they which were called might receive a promise of eternal inheritance. And after the cross, and after the cry, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, Whereas the human priest of the nation of Israel once every year would take the bloods of bulls and of goats and place it upon the altar to roll forward the sins just another year where it was not perfect, there came one, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ Himself, died on the cross of Calvary and took and rent from top to bottom that their veil which separated the holiest of all. And now, through Christ, not through a man priest, but through the mediator, God, the mediator through Christ, would allow us access and pay the redemption, and that their renting of the veil and the opening of the veil allows us to go into the throne room of God because of what Christ did for us. And you notice as we read, the veil was rent from top to bottom in such a power that it caused an earthquake. Read again in verse number 51. And behold, the veil and the temple rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. That's the power of God. And that's what it took to pay the sin debt for mankind. Not from blood of goats and bulls and heifers, but from the blood of the Lamb of God, which was slain and was shed for you and I. Now that we have that offering, we can enter in boldly after the cross to the throne of God. Verse 52. I noticed something else that was particular, caught my interest here as we began to read and study in verse number 52. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves. Listen what it says. And came up out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. After the resurrection, after the cross and the cry, Father, I commend my spirit unto you. After the rending of the veil, the Bible says here, as far as I can read and understand, that the graves were open and many of the saints which slept and arose, but, pay close attention, they did not come out of the grave until He rose from the grave. Read it again. Verse 52. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection. So 3 days, I don't know what these guys, I'm thinking about this and I'm pondering this, but the Bible does say that Christ descended and He ascended, and as the ascension, you remember, as He rose again after the resurrection, He told the disciples, hey, don't touch me, I have not yet ascended. But in that grave, I think the first fruits of the resurrection were looking forward to the day that Christ on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that grave would be empty. They sat and they waited and they anticipated. And the grave for you and I, dear friend, it means something different for you and I. It's a place that we go to and we rest, and the body is placed there. But to be absent from this body, dear friend, is to be in the presence of God for a child of the King. I noticed there that there was the rent veil after the cross. There was the resurrection of the dead as the Lord paid our sin debt, and on the third day would rise again in those first fruits of the resurrection there as a promise to you and I that we shall also be caught up together to meet with our Lord forever in that coming day when the trump of God shall sound. So I noticed there that there after the cross and some things that took place after the death of Christ as He gave up His spirit. They didn't kill Him. He surrendered His spirit to the Lord. The rent veil, the resurrection of the dead. And then verse 54. Look what I notice here. Maybe you'll notice as we read it again. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I noticed the reaction of the centurion and those sitting around. How fitting that it should be that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ would convince this centurion. You imagine with me how many crusades this centurion had led, and how many battles and how many crucifixions he had oversaw, and how many deaths he had witnessed, and how many his own sword had caused. And now truly, he says, at the death of Christ, as he witnessed and he saw these things, truly this was the Son of God. Tradition says it, and historians, church historians write that this here centurion actually became a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he himself also became a martyr. And I think about the reaction, truly, this was the Son of God. And I think about our reaction during this time where we can't meet together, not because the government says we can't. Don't get me wrong, we're not meeting together for the safety of our flock and the congregation that I shepherd, and for the sake of those that I can say, well, you can come, but you can't. You 10 are able to come. We're meeting because we're trying to take care of our body, because after this is over, Church Lock Haven, we got a job to do for the Lord. We got a lot in front of us that we got to accomplish after this. So we're not meeting. But I wonder, what's your reaction? I wonder what your reaction is this Easter Sunday, where you can't come show off your new hat, and you can't come show off your new dress, and you can't come show off your Easter bunny basket, and you can't come talk about the ham that you're going to cook. I wonder this morning, dear friend, what's your reaction going to be whenever we meet back in the house of God? Are you going to be ready to occupy till He comes? Are we going to be ready and be busy to charge the gates of hell and be out there on the forefronts for Christ and resurrecting those that are dead in trespass and sin through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the testimony of Jesus? I wonder what your reaction is going to be after this is all said and done. Are we just going to fall back into our old ways? Well, I got something else to do, so I guess I won't go to church this morning. Well, Sunday's my only day off, so I think I'll do something that I want to do. Jesus Christ died and gave Himself for the church, dear friend. And you and I ought to be found faithful to the house of God. Listen, I know that we, the people, make up the church. But we have coveted together as a church family. What's your reaction going to be after this Easter? I surely hope you can say, truly, Jesus was the Son of God. Verse 57, as we move on this morning through 61, I notice something else here. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone of the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, I went a little bit further. Let's stop there at verse 61. And let's talk about this here. I noticed after the cross, after the death, after the cry, Father, I commend my spirit into thy hand, after the veil is rent, after the dead in Christ are rose up and wakened in their grave, and they're sitting there celebrating, waiting for the third day to come out. I noticed the reaction of the centurion, how that he cried, "Surely this was the Son of God." But I noticed something else about this passage. Flip over, if you would, to John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19. Verse number 39. Hold your place in Matthew, because we're coming right back there. John chapter number 19, verse number 39. 38. Let's start in verse 38. And after this, we're in John chapter number 19, verse number 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, listen what it says here. But secretly, for he feared the Jews. So up in this point, he's been secretly a disciple. Look what it says in verse 39. Verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. So now we got two Christians. I believe these are born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is on this earth. He's casting out devils. He's healing the lame. He's cleansing the leper. He's feeding the thousands. He's raising the dead. Remember Lazarus? But here you got Joseph of Arimathea, and here you've got Nicodemus, one secretly born-again believers, secretly following the Lord, coming by night, sneaking in into the shadows. But what do we find here back in our text? Back in our text in Matthew chapter number 27, in verses number 57 through 61, we find a renewed boldness, a strengthening, an awakening to Joseph of Arimathea, not as he's secretly a disciple and for fear of the Jews. Listen what he does. In verse 57, when the evening was come, there came a rich man, Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. But remember, John told us it was secret. It's like many people get saved, and you can't even find them with the FBI and the CIA and the NSA to get them back in the house of God. That doesn't make them not saved. Something's got them in secret. Secretly. Now look what happens. After the cross, after the cry, something powerful happens in the life of Joseph of Arimathea. He went to Pilate. You don't go to Pilate by secret. You don't go to Pilate. You remember, Pilate's got guards. He's got spies. I'm sure the Pharisees and the priests had those getting information filtered out to them. Can you imagine secretly? Now, after the cross, he comes boldly to Pilate. It wasn't done some secret place where Jesus was crucified. It was on a hilltop, Golgotha, there on Calvary. Out there where the crowds could see. And here comes Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They come boldly. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. When you get a clean survey of the cross of Christ, and you understand what the cross means to you personally, dear friend, I'm just going to tell you, it's going to bring a boldness out in you, a revival deep down in your heart. And maybe America, maybe this world needed a revival. And this here plague and this epidemic that has come over us and caused us to step back and have to reevaluate things. Maybe we'll understand, dear friend, it's not about our buildings. It's not about our choirs and our Sunday school programs and our organizational skills. But, dear friend, it's got to be about Christ. And if we lift Christ up, He'll draw all men to Him. And perhaps after this, we'll have a refreshing, new boldness in Christ that we'll even go to Pilate. We'll go to the highest office in the land. And we'll go into the places where we thought we'd never go. And we'll be a witness for Christ. And we'll be a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus realized that Jesus stood in judgment for them and died on the cross of Calvary, that they should have died, and they realized that they should have had the judgment placed upon them, that on that cross they should have hung. I believe that they understood that as Jesus kept silent as the Lamb of God, that they understood that they must speak out, for Christ died for them, and they boldly proclaimed. And as Jesus died for you and I, dear friend, let me tell you something. We must live for Him in this day, which we are His followers and we are His children. I saw a revival amongst Christians that once was secret, once came only by night. I wonder, dear friend, after this is over, will there be a revival in our hearts and lives? And we'll be on fire for God like never before. I'm telling you, dear friend, the coming of Christ has got to be closer than ever before. It's got to be so close. Beyond there, dear friend, that I'm saying like John did in the book of Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But dear friend, I still have lost friends and relatives that's going to die and spend eternity in hell if a revival don't take place in my own life and I don't share Christ with those. After the cross, I see a rent veil that gives us access to the throne of God. After the cross, I saw that there was a resurrection of first fruits that gives us the promise and confidence and hope that when the trump of God sounds, you and I shall rise again that are dead in Christ. We which are alive and remain shall forever be with the Lord. I see a reaction by the centurion that was a rough man, a killer, a man of authority. And he humbled himself and he said, truly, this was the Son of God. I saw a revival down in the hearts of Joseph of Arimathea, a very, very wealthy man. And Nicodemus, a ruler, a teacher. And I saw a revival within them that boldly they came and proclaimed and asked, before Pilate even, give us the body of Christ. Dear friend, let me tell you something. Jesus is sitting at the right-hand throne of God. After the cross, I saw these four things. But I wasn't finished as I looked on into the Scriptures and into Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. I see the risen Savior. The risen Savior. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, the third day is approaching, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there were a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back in the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for the fear of him, that the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is risen. I see the rent veil. I see the resurrection of the dead. I see the reaction of the centurion. I see the revival of the Christians. And I notice the risen Savior. Look with me, if you would, over in Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. In Hebrews chapter number 7 at verse number 25. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25. The Scripture says there, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25, wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Listen what the next phrase is say. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ever liveth. After the cross, after the 3 days, after the stone was rolled away, He is not here. I know you seek the crucified Christ. He's not in the tomb. He's ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. Look over in Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. And look at verse number 5. Revelation chapter number 1. John's on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day. That's what the Bible says in verse 10. John says, as he wrote under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I wonder this morning, dear friend, are you in the Spirit? Or I wonder if you took a little time to reflect upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you've died to self this morning. I wonder if you're living and walking by the Spirit this morning and you're looking to God for something, for a word that for strength and for comfort and for grace that will get you through the rest of this week. In verse number 5, Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so. Amen. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I see the resurrecting Lord. He didn't just rise for a moment. He didn't just rise to play a trick on us. He ever liveth. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And He died and gave Himself on the cross of Calvary. He took the shame which you and I deserved. And He gave up His life so that He could pay our sin debt. And He rose again the third day, that He may intercede on our behalf. What has the cross done for you and I? Dear friend, the cross showed us the love of God for us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How can we be weak at such a time as this? How can we be weak in our dedication to Christ when He was so dedicated to us? I wonder, dear friend, could we just stand at the cross? Could we survey the cross just for a little bit? Just for a moment as we look to God and we say, God, after this is all over, after all is said and done, and we're meeting back together, put a fire in me. Start now, Lord. Burn deep within me that I might be the salt and the light of the world. I'm going to try to cue up the youth choir to close us out with a great song, I'll Run to the Cross. All this multitasking that I've had to come up with, if it's not close, it'll be there. Listen to this song, I Will Run to the Cross.
Saw the light and the burden of my soul.
Amen. It has been good to be with my church family this morning. I love each and every one of you. I pray that you'll stay safe. You'll look to Jesus. Don't waste this opportunity to cultivate your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be still, God says, and know that He is God. He's in control of this. He's sovereign. And He's going to handle this, and we're going to be okay. We are going to be okay. If He got Noah and his family through the flood and them isolated and quarantined in the ark, surely you and I, who can still go to Publix and fight for toilet paper, will be okay. Our God is on the throne. Jesus lives forevermore. Happy Resurrection Sunday. I hope you have a blessed day. Enjoy your time with your family. God bless you. Let's close out in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Bless us as we separate ourselves this morning from this time. Help us, Lord, to honor you and reflect upon the cross. And once again, realize how important it is for us Christians, your children, to be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.